Today's lesson I have titled Being Polite. The word polite, at least the English word polite, means having or showing behavior that is respectful and considerate of other people. Found this to be a very easy subject to address from the scriptures overall, but a difficult subject to illustrate. And throughout the lesson, I'll put some of that to display. But before we get into the heart of the lesson, I want you to back up to Matthew chapter 15. We always have to balance things, in particular when you're recording them and putting them on the internet, have to kind of address some balance. I don't want you to walk away from this lesson thinking that you're always to be polite. There are times where you cannot be polite, times where it's not possible. Our Lord, our Savior, for example, in Matthew 15, 1 through 9, he was talking to the Pharisees and addressing them, and the Pharisees want to know why the disciples didn't keep the tradition of the elders, and Jesus rebuked them. So in verses 12 through 14, then came his disciples and said to him, "Knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying?" But he answered and said, "Every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch." You can see there that Jesus wasn't greatly concerned that he offended the Pharisees. And he wasn't going to change from that. There are times where we, like Jesus being our example, were to walk as he walked, 1 John 2, 3 through 6. There are times where we're going to have to be sharp. And if you're going to be sharp with somebody, that's not going to necessarily be construed as respectful or considerate. For example, in Titus, the first chapter, Paul writes this epistle to Titus the evangelist. He's expecting him to stay in Crete to appoint elders there. Following the instructions of the qualifications of elders, Titus 1 and verse 10 through 14, he says, "There are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. One of themselves, even a prophet of their own, said, 'The Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies. This witness is true, wherefore rebuke them sharply that they may be sound the faith, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth.'" So there are times where there has to be a sharp rebuke, or times where something that somebody might be offended of. The Bible teaches us, even though it may not be considered polite, there are times where we have to rebuke even our brothers and sisters in Christ. An open rebuke is better than secret love, Proverbs 27 and verse 5. So there are times where we have to say things that, or do things that may not be thought of as considerate, or words, terms, sometimes that are offensive, especially in our culture today, where offensive terminology could just be hello. But especially think about examples like when the Apostle Paul is writing the churches of Galatia, multiple congregations in the area of Galatia. And in Galatians 3 and verse 1, he said, "O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you?" Certainly wouldn't be looked at by many people to call somebody your brother or sister in Christ, or in this case, multiple congregations, foolish people. Somebody might say, "Well, that's not very polite. That's not very kind." Well, it's a time where it couldn't be said any other way. It had to be direct. It had to be sharp. It had to be, in a sense, offensive. It had to tell them, "This, what you're doing has made you foolish people." And sometimes that has to be done. Sometimes we can't always be polite in our actions. For example, there are times where we as hospitable people can't be hospitable. If you look over at the book of 2 John, it's one chapter, verses 9 through 11, says, "Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you, and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker and his evil deeds. So there are times where we can't open our homes, where we can't exercise the hospitality that we otherwise would like to offer. Now, I bring this up at the onset of our lesson because we never want to say, well, we need to be polite, and kind of like in the Bible class that Brandon was teaching today, you have to be long-suffering but without compromising. You have to be polite but without compromising. There are times where we just have to address something in a way that might not come across as polite, might not come across as considerate, might be offensive. We want to make sure with all subjects in the life that we lead as Christians that we find the proper balance. Before I move on, let me give you this verse so to kind of put the underline on that point, balance. Look over at Matthew 23:23 says, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ye ought to have done, and not leave the other undone." That's what we don't want. We don't want to do one thing to the sacrifice of something else. I don't want you to walk away from this lesson and think I need to be polite and not understand that there are times where you need to be impolite. You need to be sharp. You need to be in a way that might not be considerate. You know, there are times where people will err in this. For example, just to use an extreme illustration, let's say one of our brothers or sisters in Christ just lost somebody they love dearly, spouse, child, or something like that. And they're going through a very difficult time. Maybe it's fresh. It just happened today, unexpectedly, the worst kind of tragedy. And then in that moment, that brother or sister in Christ does something sinful. You can't say, it would be impolite of me not to address this. I'll wait for another time. No, what if that other time doesn't come? And people may say, where are your manners? Don't you know what they're going through? Are you considering them at all? Have you shown any kind of consideration? Well, in actuality, you have. You've shown a great deal of consideration, not necessarily for their feelings, but for their soul. So we always want to make sure we have that balance in the right way. Now, this lesson, something else that we do sometimes is we start thinking about all the people of the world that are impolite. I'm looking out here today. That's not my audience. I know I'm recording it, as is evident by the thing in my ear, but and I'll be putting this online, and I know people that might listen online may be of the world, and I hope they'll learn from this. But the audience I'm addressing today is the congregation here in El Paso that I'm standing in front of. So I'm not intending this lesson to be towards the world. It's not the audience of today. We know that the world is full of wickedness. 1 John 5:19, the whole world lieth in wickedness. Or as the book of Galatians begins with, in Galatians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, says, "Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God our Father." We know the world is in wickedness. It's evil. It was in the first century. And you know, when we look later in the New Testament, what was written to from Paul to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3, in part, now, talks about verse 1, "This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come." We know we've been in the last days since the first century. That's what Hebrews chapter 1:1-2 points out, that God, who in sundry times, divers manners, spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world. So we know we are in the last days. So when Paul's writing to Timothy, he's talking to him about the time present and future. And when you think about the language that's here, and just think of the world, right? "For men shall be lovers of their own selves," check. "Covetous," check. "Boasters," check, right? All the things we see, I'll stop the checks. "Proud," "blasphemers," "disobedient to parents," "unthankful," "unholy," "without natural affection," "truce breakers," "false accusers," "incontent," "fierce," "despisers of those that are good," "traitors," "heady," high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such withdraw thyself. We see that all over the place today. And why? Because later in this context, Paul told Timothy in verse 13, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. That was the first century. The first century. Here we are, 1900 plus years later, things have gotten worse. Yes, there's been ups and downs throughout the history of men from that time, but the manners and behavior of mankind, it's not better than it was in these days. Like, you could literally check off all those things that's mentioned there that we just read through at the beginning of that chapter. But we as Christians, if you flip over to Titus chapter 2, we're supposed to stand out from that. We can't excuse ourselves and say, well, we live in a time where being polite just isn't cultural norm. It's not. It's not the cultural norm. But we're supposed to be different. And Titus 2, 11 through 14 says, the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of that great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify in himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. That's who we are supposed to be, the peculiar people, zealous of good works. We're called by him that is holy, so we're told in 1 Peter 1 and verse 15 to be holy, not to excuse ourselves and say, yeah, but the world, dot, 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 whatever the case may be. You know, the interesting thing is, I was brought up in a worldly home. Had the only time the Lord's name was mentioned was in vain. Nothing about the scriptures was taught to me for the first 15 years of my life. And my mother was a very worldly, ungodly individual. But she still taught me some ways to be polite. Maybe the motives behind it wasn't right, but I still knew some things. And even then, there were things, I don't know, I asked in a class recently if anybody here had ever sat through etiquette classes. That was a thing in the past, by the way, where people learned how to have manners, learned how to behave. I was asking some of the kids not long ago what it's like in school. Do you take snacks? When I was in school, if you were caught with a snack, in fact, there's this case time that I was thinking of. When I was in elementary school, and somebody had given me a sucker, and I was sucking on it, and the teacher said, the rule is, if you don't have one for everyone, you're not supposed to have it either. So tomorrow, you can either bring one for everyone, or you're going to have detention. So that next day, I was in detention. I didn't say, well, he gave it to me. But my teacher expected, if you didn't have enough to share, don't bring it here. Don't do it. This is not the way you're supposed to be. Expected to open doors for people. Taught by worldly individual. You know, if you're going into the store, yes, you may lose your line, place in line, or the restaurant, but hold the door for the older folks that are behind you, or something of that nature. Open the door for somebody else. I knew I won Katrina on our first date when I opened the door for her and had flowers and candy sitting on the seat. I won. She was mine. I knew the guy she dated before me. They had no chance. No, I'm just kidding. But being polite, having manners, think about this. If one of your brothers or sisters in Christ called you up and said, hey, my vehicle's broken down, and you have a nice vehicle, follow this illustration, and the weather is bad, and you go and you pick them up. I've seen this happen, by the way. So this is a real illustration. You go and you go out of your way to pick them up. You're being polite. You're being considerate of them. And they've been tracking around in the snow and the mud and everything else, and their shoes are just terrible. Let me repeat. You've got a very nice vehicle that you keep up, that you're nice, that you keep nice. And then they get in and slosh and dirt and mud everywhere on your seat, on your floor. And you're thinking, don't call me again. Think about that. Now, if you're a polite person, you would have taken off your coat, rolled your shoes up, and put them inside there to protect your brother or sister's vehicle. What would you do in that case? I know brethren that would just get in and be like, psh, they can clean it up. Have you considered this? You'll lose your soul over that. You thought about that. Pay attention as we go through this lesson of some of the things that we're going to talk about today, because it may be thought of as people like, this doesn't matter, this is just opinion, or it's not. But as we look at some verses, it's not a matter of opinion. The scriptures teach us that we're to be considerate of other people. And being inconsiderate, even though, maybe, I can't remember the phrase, something about being brought up in a barn, but somebody used to use when I was young, you're not brought up in a barn or something of that nature. Being respectful of other people is something Christians are supposed to do. Let's get into this. Look over at 1 Peter chapter 2. What I found difficult in this lesson is I don't think politeness is taught today as it was 40, 50, 60 years ago. So I think lessons like this are hard to teach because maybe the illustration you would have gave 50 years ago, everyone would have said, oh yeah, oh yeah. But now it's like, no, nobody does that. No way, I would never do this or that. So I found illustrations hard to think about and process. And frankly, I got to tell you, I got kind of irritated. I'm starting to now. Anyway, 1 Peter 2 and verse 17 says, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Honor, respect who? Not just the king, not just your brethren, all people. I said, what happens if you were to get into someone else's vehicle with your shoes and everything else? What if you had to call an Uber or a Lyft or the other things that are there? I've used one of those services one time just recently, and the vehicle was not in its best shape. But I made sure that I respected that person's property. I didn't say I'm paying for this. Actually, I wasn't anyway. It was a car dealership paying for it. But I respected that person's property. I didn't ask them, can you move your seat? Can you do this or anything else? I asked them, where would you like me to sit? I was being respectful. I was being polite. I always look at everybody as if they were to come into the worship assembly on the first day of the week, I don't want them to be surprised that I'm a Christian. I want them to have expected such. I want to stand out by my behavior from how other people treat them. Well, how would you be if you would you do this? Would you take off your expensive coat and wrap your dirty shoes in it to protect someone Uber driver's vehicle? If you wouldn't, think about what you could do to their vehicle, what you could do to them by not caring about their property more than your coat. Well, you know how much my coat costs, so buy a cheaper one. Well, the respect is more important than what you might lose. What about what they might lose? I don't know about you, but I don't particularly like my vehicles to be destroyed. I like them to look brand new 6 years down the road. And I take considerable care of my house and everything I have. There are things sometimes that we've had. Brethren, be like, that's new. No, it's 20 years old. It looks brand new. Yeah, we take care of it. We need it to last as long as it will possibly last. It's not in the budget to buy these things over and over again. And carpet cleaning a vehicle is terrible. And it's a difficult process, a back-breaking process. And all stains don't always come out. But people don't think about that. And I know one brother in the past that said, I'll never pick him up again. And you don't think that relationship is eternally damaged? Oh, sure. Why? Inconsiderate. Wasn't thoughtful. Wasn't respectful. Didn't show honor. In Romans chapter 15, the context of Romans 15 is and authorized liberties. Verses 1 through 3 says, "We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as written, the reproach is them that reproach thee fell on me." So to be respectful and considerate of others in the sense of, I want to please them. I'm in the vehicle of somebody I'm paying to give me a ride, and I want to do them service just as much, if not more, than they're doing me. I'm going to show respect unto this individual. And again, there's a balance. You know, when we read in 1 Peter 2:17, to honor the king, do you remember when Jesus talked about Herod in Luke 13, 31 and 32? Same day came the Pharisees, sent him, "Get thee out and depart hence, for Herod will kill thee." And he said, "Go ye and tell that fox, behold, I cast out devils and do curses today and tomorrow, and the third day I'll be perfected." Throughout this whole lesson, you've got to balance everything I'm going to be teaching. There's a time to honor the king. There's a time to honor all men. There's a time not to. But then there's times where we always ought to be polite. And there's principles that teach us how to be such. And I thought long and hard about this because, you know, you just can't get up in a lesson and start giving what you were taught by your parents as the pattern, because it's not. The scriptures are the pattern. As much as I'd like to do that, I will restrain from doing that. There are just some things that you have to realize you were taught, maybe that others. But then there are things that God teaches us that apply to us that we'll be judged upon. Look at Romans chapter 12. The word preferring here means deferring. Now, I want you to think about being polite. It means having or showing respect and being considerate of other people. So how's Romans 12:10 help us with that? It says, "Be kindly affectionate one another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another," or in honor deferring to one another. What if you defer to others? It means you're putting their interest ahead of your own. How's that going to help you be polite? Well, you're not going to be rude. You're going to be considering them in the things that you say and the things that you do. In the same chapter, down to verse 15, says, "Rejoice with them that do rejoice and weep with them that weep." What about having empathy? Being able to look at what somebody else is going through and understanding that, being polite. So let's go back to my earlier illustration. Somebody's going through something like a death in the family. That's not the person you call and say, "Hey, my car's broken down. Can you give me a ride?" They got enough going on. It's not polite to put them out further. Now, somebody might say, "Yeah, but the Bible says, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ." But you're disobeying Romans 12, 10 and 15 in that event. And you're using Galatians 6, 2 because you're an abuser. You think everybody should be at your service. Well, you failed to look at it the right way. You should be at everybody else's service. And if we're all that way, none of us will ever abuse anyone else. Oh, just because we can put a verse, "Well, bear ye one another's burdens" on something, doesn't mean that, hey, somebody's going through something tough. Oh, well, my business is more important than their business. It's cold out here and my car's broke down. Yeah, and there's tow trucks and there's Uber and there's Lyft and there's these other things. Why would you burden a brother or sister in Christ who doesn't need to be burdened at a time? I'm not telling you don't call your brethren. And by the way, if you're broken down, you can call me. I will ask you to take your shoes off before you get in, so I won't be mad at you. If you've been tracking around in the snow, I will just be pretty direct about it. "Hey, hold on, can we put those somewhere else?" I'll let you have my coat. My coat's able to be washed. The floor is a whole lot more work. I don't particularly like bending over and scrubbing carpet, etc. But not saying don't call your brethren, but be considerate in doing so. And don't think that, hey, they need to jump at my every beckoning call. I remember when Brother Bill Wright was alive. Right, Marty? Wasn't that his phrase? "Jump at my beckoning call." He used to get very angry. And him and I would have this discussion. He'd be very angry. There were some of our brethren at that time that thought Bill Wright was the taxi, the repairman, everything. "If you got a problem, call Bill." And he said, "What do they think I'm here for? Every beckoning call." Now, he was polite. So he would want to go and he would want to help and he desired to help. But some people took advantage of that. You don't think they're going to stand the judgment day for that? Well, when you read Romans 12:10 and 12:15, the answer is absolutely yes. He won't. He was polite. They will. They were abusers. Think about that. How do we relate? In a different context, Romans 14, and by the way, it's the context we were in Romans 15, the authorized liberty context here, says in verse 14, chapter 14, verse 19, let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify another. So the brother that picked up the brother and was in service to him, do you think he was edified by his carpet being ruined in his car? Oh no. What he thought when he walked away was, I don't want this person to ever ask me for help again. That's ruined relationship because somebody's inconsiderate. What a shame. What if both people lose their soul after that? By the way, in that conversation, I was trying to point out both sides. I understood the inconsiderate point. So that's why when some people call you, you tell them no. Because you know they're not going to be considerate. You hope they're going to grow in it. You hope they're going to learn. You hope they're going to obey. But you know they're not going to be considerate. Where do we fit into that? Look over at 1 Corinthians chapter 10, authorized liberties context and areas of authorized liberty. What am I there for? There every beckoning call. Bill and I would have this talk. You know, if Bill were still alive, you were to call him, he'd be there. Whatever it is, even if he doesn't want to, he'd be there. And 1 Corinthians 10, 32 and 33 says, give none offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God, even as I please all men in all things, not seek my own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. Again, the context is authorized liberties. The point is the servant mentality, which leads us to the next verse, Galatians 5 and verse 13. For, brethren, you have been called under liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. Now think about that. When you put all those things together, am I aware of my brethren and what they're going through? Am I empathetic? Am I willing to defer to them? Am I edifying them? Am I building them up? Am I at their service? Is it motivated by love? These people you're going to spend eternity with is the goal, right? You want to ruin relationships before you even get there? Think you'll get there? That's pretty naive thinking. If you think you can ruin a relationship between brothers and sisters in Christ and still spend eternity with our Heavenly Father. That's pretty naive thinking. We want to think about being polite and exercising ourselves in a way. In Colossians, the third chapter, here the word forbearance will come up too. Verses 12 and 13 says, put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so do ye. Now, to be kind, to have forbearance. Being polite sometimes is going to mean that sometimes your brethren are going to do things that irritate you. Can you put up with it? Can you forbear? Are you that person that first time they do something that you're done? You got to have some forbearance. And by the way, that's why, you know, back to kind of the class discussion from a whole different point of view, though. If you know you have a problem with forbearance and you know that there are some brothers or sisters in Christ that might irritate the daylights out of you, don't open that door. Don't offer. You don't want that relationship to be ruined on the spiritual side because you overextended on the carnal side. Now, with that forbearance, there's a flip side of the coin. In fact, Katrina and I were talking the other day, and she brought up a point, so I thought I would insert the point here. A good point she made to me, we were talking about forbearance. And she said, but you don't always want to be the one people have to forbear with either. Have you ever thought about that? We talk about the give side, you know, giving forbearance. What about being on the taking side? What if you're the one that people have to put up with all the time? And you're always on the take. What if people have to walk on eggshells around you? I just tell you, you're not going to get those invites very often. People aren't going to want to be around you, especially when they feel like it could go south at any moment. Have you thought about that? Not just on the give, but on the take. That's why it's great to say, by love, serve one another. But I got to tell you that there are people that hear, good, my brethren will serve me. Now, that's not what you're supposed to be hearing. That's not what's being said. See? But sometimes people flip that in their minds. It's like, I'm looking at it from the take perspective. No, it's better to give than to receive. Acts 20 and verse 35. Look on it from the giving end, not necessarily the taking end. Think about the perspective, to put scriptures with a point that I was making earlier. The perspective of being that example in Titus chapter 2, verse 7 and 8 says, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, and doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. So when we examine our lives, our conduct, when you step back and you look at how you've acted this week, this month, this year, around your brethren, around people of the world, do they see a pattern of good works in you? Or would there be people that say, man, that person is not polite at all. They don't care about anybody but themselves. This person has no manners. What would people see in you? Look, stepping back and looking at it from their perspective, that Uber driver that might have his carpet ruined because maybe they've had 500 people in their car, and then you're the one that messed something up. And they're going to forget about the 500 people before you. They're going to remember you. They're going to remember you. Your name comes up, needs a ride. No way. Don't want to give it to this person. Don't want to pick that person up, even if it's a good paying job. Well, but how would you look at it? How would you? You know, there are people that would say, well, I'm paying for a service. He needs to clean his car. I don't need to worry about it. Good job. That's the way a Christian ought to be. No, that's not polite at all. It's not considerate of other people at all. Let your footprint be positive and not negative so that you don't leave that sour taste in somebody's mouth. The 1 Peter 3:8 point of, finally, be all one mind, have compassion one another, love his brethren, be pitiful, be courteous. Are you courteous? If, you know, all these apps that are out there where people get to rate, right, leave reviews and do everything else. If you were an app, what would people rate you? 1 star? What they put in the comments, I've seen this. Have you seen this? I'm sure most of us probably have, where someone said, I wish you could give 0 stars, but we're only allowed to give 1, but I had to leave 1 to make a comment. Don't ever use it. Would you be that person? Don't ever have this person in your life. How many times does it take for you to be that person to cause a soul to be lost? Only one. Only one time. We don't want to get so caught up in self that we forget others. Now, as I was developing this lesson, I thought the easiest way to teach it would be, and look over at Matthew chapter 7. I'm going to take you through my thought process here for a moment. My body point was going to be Matthew 7 and verse 12, and it lasted for about 4 seconds. Matthew 7 verse 12, therefore all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do ye also to them. For this is law and prophets. And the parallel to that is in Luke 6:31. And I thought for about 4 seconds, this would be the good body point. And then I thought, wait a minute. So if I preach to an impolite person and I tell them to treat others as you would have them be, then that's just going to carry on the impoliteness. What a terrible scripture. Isn't that a shame? The main, most beautiful point of, is this how you'd want people to treat you? Well, somebody that's impolite would say, I don't care. And I thought, that's the frustrating part about this sermon. And I thought, what? That irritated me. I got to tell you, since last Sunday, I've been irritated about this, that I couldn't use Matthew 7:12 the way I'd like to. That's unfortunate. That's unfortunate. How you'd want to be. So I thought, why is that? There's this verse we all know. Evil communications corrupts good manners. The standard of teaching, therefore, can't be yourself. Because the world we live in just doesn't teach being polite. It's been a long time since I've told this story, and I got to tell you, it's kind of faded in my mind, so I'm just going to have to leave it kind of generic a little bit. But when my children were young, my eldest son did something nice for an elderly person and was basically accosted for it. I think it was in an Arby's restaurant, but even that's kind of vague now. My memory sitting over here shakes her head yes. And we tried to teach our children, open the door for other people. If somebody drops something, bend over, pick it up, especially our elders. Honor those that are elderly. Show respect to them if you can do something to help them. They're struggling, and this is difficult because the world we live in now, I know I've experienced this. You see somebody loading groceries into a car, you offer to help, they're afraid you're going to mug them, rob them, carjack them. You might get shot. I get it. I get it. You know what? I'd rather be shot being polite than be damned ignoring a situation. Don't know about you, but I would. I still can't pass an old person struggling, and I don't care how they treat me in return. And I'm not going, they're talking about major cities. If you saw somebody getting beat, an older person or anybody being beat, how many people walk by? I'm not walking by. I'm not walking by. I'm going to be as polite as I can towards the offender till they give me opportunity not to be, at which time I won't regret not being polite. But I just can't walk by. Do we care about people? Not just our brothers and sisters in Christ, but to last or 2 weeks ago, I think was a sermon. That these are souls. Souls for whom Christ died on the cross. I want to be polite to this person when I can. I want to be polite to that person when I can. Sheila read in our class today, Philippians 2:3. I want you to look back over there, Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 through 5. Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 through 5. So as I was thinking this week about Matthew 7:12 and Luke 6:31, and I was like, that's a dangerous standard to throw out there. Our Lord had a little different audience. And I thought, well, what can I throw out there? Okay, how about this? Philippians 2, 3 through 5, rereading again what was read in verse 3, says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in loneliness of mind. Let each esteem other better than themselves, looking not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. So, how about let's not treat others as we'd want to be treated? How about better? Better than we'd want to be treated. Now, that's a standard that even for the miserable impolite ought to succeed to some degree. For some of us, we need to treat people much better than we want to be treated. But that's the pattern that Christ gave us. And by the way, that's not the opinion of men. That's the commandment of God. And then I thought of another point. Look back at Proverbs 25, verse 17. And I know passages like this sometimes get the chuckle, right? Proverbs 25, 17 says, withdraw thy foot from thy neighbor's house, lest he be weary of thee and so hate thee. You've heard of that phrase, you can overstay your welcome. I'm not bringing this up just on that point, but how about the general idea that you can become an irritant to other people? And the less polite you are, the quicker that'll happen. The fact is, we can all become irritants to other people. I'm sure if I was to come to any one of your house long enough, you'd be irritated. And I guarantee you on the other side, I would be. I know that about myself very well. Doesn't mean I won't open my home. Doesn't mean that I, you know, there's the instruction to use hospitality without grudging. I understand that fully. But there's the overstay your welcome point. And sometimes people don't consider, maybe they're irritating somebody. And if we're all doing as we ought to be, it's not going to show. If I'm being polite, I'm not going to look at you and say, you're an irritating individual. I'm going to forbear. I'm going to put up with it. I'm going to put up with it and put up with it and put up with it, because the Bible puts it on you to be polite, not on me to force it. It won't be genuine anyway. Vice versa. Let me ask you a question. Say you're at someone's house. While I'm using this illustration, Proverbs 27 and verse 15, be a point we're going to get to in a minute. But somebody invites you over for dinner, and they've made a considerable amount of food, and there's only four of you at the table, plenty of food, and the person says, you know, if anybody likes seconds, feel free. What's your first inclination? Have you ever thought about this? They made more food than four people could eat. Have you ever thought they wanted leftovers? Would you say, well, they offered, I'm going to take? Would you say they offered, I'm going to eat it all? How's the discussion change? What if they say, look, I made plenty so that you could get full? See, that's a little different statement. Now you know they've made plenty. They want you to eat all that you can. Maybe, and I've said this plenty of times to people, I don't want leftovers, so eat as much as you can. There are times where I've looked at people and said, hey, you know, we're not going to eat any more of this. If you want it, take it. Fine. But would you do that without being offered? Because there are some people that live on leftovers. Maybe you don't, but there are others that do. And when they make food, they make an abundance of it for a meal. So next time you get invited for dinner, what do you think might be happening? Where the wife's out in the kitchen hurrying up and taking the leftovers and putting them in the refrigerator. How would you feel then? What would happen? Being polite is about understanding there's more than meets the eye. How can I be considerate of what I'm not seeing? How can I think beyond what I think is obvious? Let me tell you, your brethren will let you be impolite. And some of us, to an extreme, will let you be impolite. They're not going to call you on it. They'll forbear, because that's their side. Forbearance is their side. Now, I've got you in Proverbs 27:15 for a reason. A continual dropping and very rainy day and a contentious woman are alike. I'm not meaning this to talk about contentious women today. I'm using it similar to the way I'm using Proverbs 25:17, just as an illustration. Do you think that there's contentious women out there that don't realize how irritating they are? Or men? Sure. You see, when people are being polite, you being impolite aren't going to see it. You're going to take it for granted. And I would imagine we've been all been on it, on that end of it, where we've been generous to somebody and they weren't. I thought of the shoe illustration because that was a real life thing. It wasn't my car, but thankfully. But an actual situation. But what brought it to my recollection was I had these guys working out back, as you're all aware, a couple weeks ago. And my doorbell rang while they're working out there. And guy says, hey, we're just going to run down to the gas station and go to the bathroom. I said, man, I've got a bathroom. Feel free to come and use it. He said, no, sir, I wouldn't do that. And one of the reasons he gave, He said, I'm dirty and I wouldn't want to bring this out. And I first thing that came to my mind is, I know some of my brethren that wouldn't do that. Thought, wow, this guy is uber polite. And he's a person of the world. Very polite. He was considerate of my house. Now, I knew he could come from right here to right here, and Katrina would clean it up about 2 seconds after he walked out, and the floor is hard, and so forth and so on. When I lived in the north, most people have carpet up there, you know, and for anybody that's lived in a snowy area and you have carpet, you have a no-show rule when people come to your house. And you know what really stinks is when you don't meet them at the door and say, would you take your shoes off? And they trample up your carpet. It's terrible. It's so very hard not to be violent. And if you've lived up there, you know, I'm imagining Paul understands, right? You understand. It's carpet cleaning is expensive. And when you live where it snowed and they've put down salt, the black stuff, whatever that is that's on people's shoes, it does not come up. It is like permanent. It doesn't matter how quick you get to it. You're sitting there scrubbing and scrubbing and you're going and you're renting the carpet cleaner. You're like, I can't get this up. And you know what? From that moment on, you never want to have that person back in your house. And that's a brother or sister in Christ. Now, they may say, well, I don't take the shoes off my own house. Okay, that's why we can't use Matthew 7:12 in this discussion. Did you not walk in and notice that the family's not wearing shoes? Are you not aware? If you live up north and you're unaware that people have a no-shoe policy a lot of times, you're dumb. You're just dumb. I don't know how you get a driver's license. Because most people in the north that have carpet want you to take your shoes off. And some people, I knew one sister in Christ, she carried slippers in her purse. Carol. That's how kind she was. She didn't. She went beyond taking her shoes off. She had these slippers in her purse. I'm sure it wasn't nice for her. I probably wouldn't want to put those back in the purse. After I wore them, not knowing what's on the floor. Because the other side of that is, some reason people don't like to take their shoes off in other people's house because their socks get filthy. Well, you know what? It's a lot easier to buy a new pair of socks than it is to replace carpet. Really is. Think about that. Where would you be in that situation? Would you be observant enough? Would you even ask, would you like to take my shoes off? Now I'm bringing this illustration up for this. People may look back at you and say, oh, no, it's fine. Don't listen to them. They're not wearing shoes. You know what that means? They'd prefer you not to wear shoes. They're being polite. They don't want to inconvenience you. But they would prefer that. That's when they say, no, that's fine. And you say, okay, well, I'll take them off anyway. I know it's not as big of a custom here. We do have some brethren here that would rather you take your shoes off. So know that about some of our brethren. Up north, you ever go up, you better. Even when they say it's okay, it's not okay. They want you to take your shoes off. How's that matter? You're not deferring to somebody else. You're not being courteous. You're not being mindful of them. You're not treating them the way you ought to. And as a Christian, you ought to be the person who can stay longest at somebody's house before your welcome wears out. Not right before you get into the front door. They're already wishing you would turn around and leave. And that's how it is. You need to think those things through. You need to think, where am I as a Christian? Another illustration in Proverbs 22. Are you someone that others would want to be around or should be around? Proverbs 22:24 says, make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go. The point there is obvious, but grow that. Are you a person others would want to be around? Polite comes down to that. Being polite comes down to that. Having manners comes down to that. I recently saw a brother in Christ leave someone's house and go back to his house to go to the bathroom because he had to do a certain function that he didn't want to do in somebody else's house. Me personally, you know, it's a bathroom. We'll clean it up, whatever happens. But they didn't want to do it anyway. That's a polite person. It's somebody that's considerate of someone else. What would you do in those kind of situations? I don't care. Their whole house can stink. Well, I personally will just pick on you. I figure if you can stink up the bathroom, I mean, it's not like I don't have humor in there, right? I figure if you can stink up the bathroom, I can point it out. But not everybody's that way. And being polite is about saying, you know what? I want to go beyond. Even if I wouldn't mind if somebody did this in my house, I want to go beyond. I want to treat them greater. So I'm going to wrap up with a couple of quick passages. And the authoritative standpoint that goes with service in Ephesians 5:21 says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Just to use an earlier illustration, somebody says, take your shoes off. Ephesians 5:21 says, take your shoes off. It's a matter of liberty. They're not telling you to do something sinful. You concede. You do as they ask. Let me remind you, if you're being polite, you'll not have to be asked. And then in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5 says, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. You know, it's easy to deal with sinful behavior. Subjects like this are frustratingly difficult to teach on, frustratingly difficult to preach on, because the illustrations oftentimes are weighted too much with opinion or one's own tradition. But I think the scriptures we went over today ought to be powerful and clear enough to equip you to be a polite person. And not everybody was taught being brought up certain things. As I look back, I think my non-Christian mother taught me more manners than my Christian father, so-called Christian, okay, he's not really, whatever, taught his son and daughter, because I saw it, how they behaved in other people's houses. They just weren't taught the way my mother taught me. I think that's shameful. That's shameful. I'm embarrassed if my children act a certain way in somebody else's house. I remember telling my eldest one time, don't eat like that. You know, go to somebody's house and bend over and it's like, have some manners. Like, I know you're a pig, but you don't have to tell everybody else that you are. View that as a reflection on me and what I did as a parent. I taught them not to do that. Both of them not to do that. All three of them, actually. Not to do that. But being polite. Being polite. Imagine if you had Jesus in your house, how he would act. If you went somewhere with Jesus, how he would treat others. I know the world abused the what would Jesus do, but like we talked about earlier in the negative, we do walk as he walked. I submit this lesson to you for not only consideration, but application. Thank you so much for your attention. I'll go ahead and turn over our